This episode is brought to you by Salal. In today's show, we go deeper into the damaging effects of stress by helping you to understand the difference between fatigue and burnout. Salal's Burnout Adrenal Formula is a powerful, science-backed supplement designed to help restore balance and vitality when stress takes its toll. With a blend of natural ingredients, it targets key areas like energy depletion, mental fatigue, and emotional burnout. By supporting adrenal health and boosting the body's stress response, Salal's Burnout Formula helps you to feel more energized, focused, and resilient. Whether you're facing a demanding work schedule or just feeling overwhelmed, this formula is your solution to managing stress and regaining your vitality. Welcome back to the Reinvent Health Podcast, the show where we dive deep into the big issues that affect our daily lives, work, mental health, self-care, and everything in between. I'm your host, Nikki Robertson, and today's episode is something that hits home for so many of us, which is burnout. Whether you're juggling multiple responsibilities at work, feeling overwhelmed by daily pressures, or just exhausted from the constant grind, burnout can take a serious toll on both our bodies and minds. I'm speaking with neurocoach Vanessa Embriolo about what burnout really is, how to recognize the signs, and most importantly, what we can do to prevent it or bounce back if we're already feeling its effects. She shares her story and practical advice on how to reclaim balance and well-being in our busy lives. If you're feeling a little run down or just want to understand burnout better for yourself or someone you care about, stick with us for this important conversation. So, V, thank you again for joining me on the podcast. And yes, it is a very topical conversation, and I think very important this time of year. So let's start off with what burnout is. And, you know, how do we know if we're really going through burnout or if this is some, if it's just day-to-day stress? What are we really dealing with here?
So, Nix, I think, first of all, it is a term that some people do use a little bit willy-nilly, and it can be frustrating because then when it is actually a real case, the severity of it is kind of overlooked. And I didn't realize until I started doing more research on it this year that, in fact, burnout is really medically recognized as a real problem, and it's mental, physical, emotional. It hits all of those layers or all of those areas, I should say. So what it essentially is just having depleted all resources. And having experienced it myself, actually, I say for the second time, but they would actually be lying, because the first time I had burnout that I was actually diagnosed with burnout, you know, according to blood tests and whatnot, I definitely didn't feel the severity of it that I felt this time round. And fortunately, you know, I've now been on the journey. Well, I say fortunately, I would have rather not been on the journey, but at least I'm, you know, quite a few months in, and I can say that looking back, I can see, you know, how severe it really was and the improvements that are happening. But yeah, I actually can't even remember what the question you asked me was.
So losing, you know, and I do it myself all the time. And I think it is really typical of burnout. You're going down a path and you completely forget which path you're on, why you're even going down it. And it can be incredibly disorientating and frustrating. But I think, you know, we'll get into that as we go. So can you define what burnout is and how it differs from regular stress and fatigue that most of us are familiar with?
Sure. So burnout is a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion. Next, it really, as I say, hits all three areas. And it's caused by prolonged, intense stress. Typically, it is linked to work. Most of us, throw ourselves into our work. And for those of us that enjoy our work, even more so. And in fact, that's probably an unfair statement. I mean, there's many people that don't absolutely love what they do, but they still throw themselves in it. And it differs from regular stress in a few ways, in the sense that burnout, sorry to be the bringer of bad news, is here for the long haul. It's here for a long time. And and it is so vital to address it as soon as possible, because there's no quick fix. Whilst, normal fatigue or exhaustion generally can be treated quite short term, you know, taking a time out, having a short sabbatical, getting enough rest, changing nutrition, going on a much needed holiday. will really, really make all the difference. And I've seen people bounce back, very quickly doing those kind of things when they're just suffering from, exhaustion as opposed to burnout. That's why I say, anybody that says, "Oh, I've got burnout," I always say, just be sure, because I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemy.
So from what you're saying, it sounds like it's an accumulative effect of stress that's not actually addressed in the early stages, or we don't pay attention to the signals early on, and this is something that accumulates over time.
Absolutely. It's chronic long-term stress that hasn't been managed. And often this happens after
Okay.
months, even years. It's unlikely that you're going to get burnout after 6 months of, of intense stress and exhaustion. Whilst normal
Yes.
stress is more short-term and is normally resolved more easily. And fatigue can also be, you get fatigue, which, is a result of just maybe overdoing things, not enough sleep, maybe even too much partying, working overtime. But if you address it in time, then it remains stress and it remains fatigue and you overcome it. It's when you don't address it that it has this terribly, as you say, cumulative effect, which has really far-reaching consequences.
Yeah, it really does have dangerous consequences. And I think, when people throw the word around burnout loosely, they don't really realize how serious this is because it affects a lot of our different systems, and specifically the endocrine system. So the hormones, the brain, and it takes a lot of time to fix that and quite a specific, multidisciplinary protocol to put all that back together. So what are the early warning signs that you've come across when you know that burnout is on the horizon? What are the most common symptoms that one can look out
Well,
for?
Nix, now that I unfortunately, too late she cried, I can tell you that thinking back, one of the most important things that I'm going to say to people, and I cannot stress it enough, is when life starts to feel like it isn't fun anymore, when the things that you loved doing are starting to lose their color, when your passions are starting to feel overwhelming, even. And when day-to-day stuff just feels like it's too much. I remember getting my son's stationery list and thinking, oh my God, yeah. I mean, I know we all feel like that because we also mean there's another one coming now. But we get it towards the end of the year and we're like, for goodness sake, and we just finished the year. But I remember having this angst, this anxiety building up and thinking, but hey, and it then evolved into feeling overwhelmed as to what to make for dinner. And yes, a lot of moms, especially, and dads and single dads and whatnot, can relate to this. We do get overwhelmed with things like that. But it's beyond overwhelm. It's almost like this absolute burden of facing what feels like a mammoth task when it really is just preparing dinner.
Yes, exactly. It is, and the overwhelm is, it's almost a paralysis. It's you just
It absolutely
cannot.
is. So it's almost like the trauma response. The trauma response is, with anxiety, we get the fright or flight, and you get, different types. You get stress response and trauma response. The trauma response is the freeze,
Yes.
where it's like the deer in headlights and you've got no energy. You've got, I think all your adrenaline at this stage is just literally pumping in your heart and nowhere else,
Yes.
as opposed to the flight, where you get that surge of energy and you're able to cook 27 meals and pack them in the freezer for the next month, and then you can wusser for a little bit.
I don't even
100%.
remember the last time I had the energy for that.
I can unfortunately relate. Now and then I get these little bursts of energy and I do stuff and I remember how absolutely amazing and enjoyable it is, and I know it's coming back. But yeah, next in today's world, I think burnout has become so prevalent because of technology. We are expected to do so much, and a perfect example is, online coaching. You don't even have to factor in the time anymore of
Yes.
making a client a cup of tea, going to the bathroom, letting the client in, letting the client out. It's just from one to the next. And, you get to the end of the day and you have now held space for however many consecutive hours. And because you love it so much, you don't realize that actually it is taking from you. Add to that life, doing the chores that we don't love doing so much. Add to that, going to gym regularly and pushing yourself there. Add to that I'm going to be specific and say living in Joburg, where we do have quite a highly strung life because of, our sense of compromised safety. And the list goes on and on and on. And eventually, one day, you're kind of going, this is becoming less and less enjoyable, what is happening?
So something that's really stood out for me li just listening to you is when the simple pleasures in life also become overwhelming. So the things that we actually depended on as a break, as a reprieve, become too much as well. And I'll give you a personal example. There was a time in my life where I loved going to gym, and there came a time where I couldn't get out of the car. I'd drive to the gym, all the way to the gym. I'd park, and I'd just reverse my car and go straight home. I couldn't get out of the car, and that to me was,
I hear you.
this is burnout. When you go to the shops because you have to, because there's nothing in the fridge, and you've got this trolley, and your brain just shuts down. I don't know what to take off a shelf anymore. That is burnout. And these are the simple things that you
That is
just can't
burnout.
do.
And that's what's so scary. And I am going to use the word scary. I can't even
You
sugarcoat it.
can't.
I think all my clients know that I tend to not sugarcoat stuff. Is that it does affect you on an emotional, physical, and mental level. And it really does. And the physical is not just the energy levels. I'll tell you, during burnout, my anxiety spiked and I landed up sitting with a cholesterol reading that was off the charts. I've got a bit of a predisposition hereditarily, but for those of you that know me and know what I look like, I certainly don't look like somebody that would have high cholesterol. So that's the PNI of it, the psychoneuroimmunology, or the PNE, the psychoneuroendocrinology, next, which you and I love, to talk about, is it does have this awful knock-on effect, this negative positive feedback loop, or positive negative feedback loop, whatever you want to call it. And it's scary because you feel and you know that it's happening, but you're trapped in this downward spiral. And as you say, when the things that pulled you out, when the things that you used to buffer, to balance, to activate that positive neurochemistry to get you into the positive mind state aren't working anymore, it is terrifying.
So what would you say, in your experience as a therapist and as a coach, what are the physical implications that you've seen? What are the illnesses people manifest with when you know that those are connected to burnout? Besides, say, the heightened
Next,
cholesterol and the very obvious
where do we
anxiety.
begin? Where do we begin? Honestly, where do we begin? You know, I mean, I know not everybody knows what psychoneuroimmunology is or how it works, but it's the mind state connection to how the immune function works. And when we're not functioning optimally, when the neurochemistry is of a negative configuration as a opposed to a positive one, there's parts of the brain that release chemicals into the body that wreak havoc with, what is supposed to actually be playing out and, giving us homeostasis. So really anything from autoimmune diseases being triggered, high cholesterol, diabetes, hypertension, heart attacks, never mind that more often than not, one of the symptoms that people report to have with heartburn because of the potential anxiety and depression is heart palpitation. So there's this constant elevated heart rate, which is not good for anybody. We're not supposed to be on a treadmill all day.
And people come to me
Exactly.
specifically for things like IBS and thinking that it's a food trigger, and usually it's a food trigger, but upstream from that, it is most definitely a stress trigger. And IBS is long-term pervasive stress. It's not the acute stress, that you just have to deal with a crisis in the short term. That doesn't cause these stomach issues. It is this unrelenting treadmill, as you say, that causes these very debilitating gut issues, and people are at their wits' end because medicine can't treat these chronic conditions of the gut generally. And it's not as simple as changing, getting off gluten or taking a tablet. This takes work. And many of us don't feel like we don't have the time or the inclination to even start putting the work in because we can't get through the day as it is. But this is unfortunately what it takes.
So Nix, I mean, you're a testament to me. When I've been at my optimum in my mind state, you've done my blood work because you're my nutritionist. You've done all of that, and it was you said to me you are so incredibly healthy. Even my cholesterol, which I've always battled with being slightly on the higher side, was below 5, which for me, God, 4.9 is like an
It's
absolute
great.
godsend. So it's great. It's great for us. Especially mine. So definitely there's no question about it. And that's the scary part, because burnout I was about to say heartburn. God, we can handle that any day over burnout.
Yeah.
Because burnout affects the emotional state so much, it really does have a huge physical impact. Never mind that feeling of absolute constant exhaustion, that feeling tired, that feeling like everything is going to take more energy than you actually have.
So what actually happens is the body or the immune system doesn't know the difference between at times. It doesn't know the difference between an infection and a chronic unrelenting stress state. It sees it as the same damage or potential attacker. And it is an attacker. It's something that's attacking the systemic body as a whole. So the immune system mounts an attack on itself because there's no pathogen to go after. So it ends up attacking its own tissues. And this is how autoimmune issues that are related to stress come about. And everyone says, well, how does a mental state affect your body? It's because your body is getting a message that there's a problem. And pretty much it's working blind when we're not dealing with these stresses. And you've done the work, I've done the work, and it's still work. I think it's work that never ends. And I think we've really got to make peace with the fact that it's not going to stop while we're living crazy lives and we are, just running all the time to catch up and make things work. We've got to make peace with the fact that self-work is something that never ends. What are your experiences with clients that you see? Do people come to you and expect, one, two sessions and off we go and everything sorted out? Who are the people who really succeed when it comes to this kind of thing?
So, Nix, it's interesting. Very seldom have I had clients, and I've been very blessed. I've had many, many clients over the years. Very seldom have I had clients that have come and expected a quick fix or a
Right.
magic bullet, especially because, I do always say that, give me 3 to 6 sessions. I don't believe in being in sessions day in, day out,
Yeah,
years in, years out.
sure.
However, I have also noticed that there is a place for that. People are needing a sounding board. People are needing somewhere where they can just vent. They might not have that person. So I'm happy to be that person once we've obviously uncovered, dug deep, and got into the intricacies of what's brought them there in the first
Yeah.
place. And it's just maybe the alignment, the energetic alignment that the majority, and I'm going to go with 90% of people that come and see me really are in it to win it. They're in it to do the work. They committed.
Yeah.
My work is not easy. It's not just coming and having a cup of tea and chatting for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
I get you stuck in there. I
Yes.
help you find demons that are lurking that you're been pushing down and, putting behind and sticking in the shadows.
Absolutely.
I help you find those, which obviously then lead to far better awareness, a shift in perspective. Obviously with this kind of enlightenment, and a lot of clients always say to me, "Oh my gosh, V, your sessions are always so enlightening," which is a massive compliment to me. That sets a wonderful stage for neuromodulation,
Sure.
and neuromodulation is hacking brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And really, in burnout, God, do you need to hack that brain chemistry? And I really say God, as in I am praying to the man above, because when there's nothing else left.
That's exactly what you do. So let's talk boundaries because boundaries are another term that's thrown around quite loosely. How do we really, I mean, it goes back to childhood, and if we aren't taught to set up strong boundaries as children, we spend the rest of our adult lives relearning what we should have known all along. And for a lot of us, not having solid boundaries, knowing how far we can be pushed, is one of the biggest causes of short-term stress and long-term burnout. So when you're working with somebody who clearly has never, ever even understood the concept of where their boundaries are, where do we begin?
So next, it's quite simple. I always ask the question of choose a person that you would die for and put them in your place.
Very clever.
And that's a big game changer, huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I have tears, instant tears often, smiles, laughter, looks of absolute shock and horror, because all of a sudden
Yeah.
the pennies are starting to drop. But also, I realize people don't understand necessarily what boundaries are. And we have various boundaries. We've got, my burnout brain is kicking in. So we've got rigid boundaries, and we've got more flexible boundaries, and then we've got boundaries that might as well not be there. And our boundaries need to be a mix of flexible and rigid. Got to be a compromise. But the most important thing is it's not about being mean or being selfish. People really, really confuse boundaries with being selfish. And people then also confuse self-honoring with being selfish. So this is something that I really like to explain in great detail in my sessions, because again, the awareness around the subject is of paramount importance to shifting into a better mind state by loving and honoring ourselves more. Because when we love and honor ourselves more, it's going to be easier to detect when a boundary should be in place or is in place and is being pushed.
No, exactly. But how do you teach somebody? I'm digging because it's something that I come across with my clients every day, is how do you start teaching somebody who's never understood that and thinks that setting boundaries is selfish, that this is so necessary, not for just their survival, but in order for them to live a fulfilled life.
So, Nix, I'm grateful to say that I actually have a really high rate of success with my clients in setting boundaries. I use a series of questions. I do also role play with them. I ask them to give me their scenarios. First, I start with asking them what they think boundaries are. So they're really setting boundaries is something that I didn't realize lacked so much, but yet is so easy to implement. Well, when I say easy, it always comes with casualties of growth, because as we put boundaries in place, we are growing, and as we are growing, there will be casualties. So there will be casualties in things and people.
Course.
So we might lose people, and we might lose them forever. They might come back, or they might not. You've got season, reason, lifetime. The most important thing is, what does it look like putting yourself first? And that terrifies people, because that is synonymous with selfish.
Absolutely,
So I've
absolutely.
got to first teach them the difference between self-honoring, selfish, and self-sacrificial. So there's a good pep talk that goes around that, and in fact, I cover it, I think, in most of my workshops, because it's a component that's important in neuromodulation and well-being. So you set boundaries by learning your importance first. And as I say, it's a process. It's a process, but it's certainly not a very long-winded process.
And it's
And I
also,
find that
I think it's also understanding what your values are. And I think a lot of people have never asked themselves, what's valuable to me?
absolutely. Yeah, we do a whole worksheet on the value system. And when I run my workshops, it's one of my favorite things to do, to ask people to tell me two or three of their values. And it's interesting, me included back in the day, that I had to actually stop and think. And when our values are compromised, we have to absolutely reassess where we're at.
Did you know that unmanaged stress accelerates both mental and physical aging? This episode is sponsored by Salal. Salal's ashwagandha extract is a potent natural solution to help combat stress and support overall well-being. Known for its powerful adaptogenic properties, ashwagandha helps regulate the body's response to stress by promoting relaxation, mental clarity, and balance. With its high-quality concentrated extract, Salal's formula enhances energy, reduces anxiety, and supports a healthy immune system, making it an essential addition to your wellness routine.
There's so many different. So there's obviously the rigid boundaries, the porous boundaries, the flexible boundaries. Look how they've all come back to me. Burnout brain stepped aside. Vis-a-vis stepped in. Anyway, so you've got the types of boundaries, but then it's also boundaries at work, emotional boundaries, boundaries with friends, boundaries with yourself. Then you might have boundaries of things like, hygiene, things like so many boundaries. There's really so many types of boundaries, as well as there being the, what would you call it, the definition of the three types of boundaries. I mean, I'm sure other schools of thought have different types, but those are the ones I work with.
And I think start with the basics, like Boundaries, I love that hygiene. It's like, well, didn't think of that. I mean, these are things we take for granted, but if we can start thinking on a simple level, it's easy to start building up the line and like, what's really important to you? Where do I draw that line? Is there even a line? Because if you're brought up to just be compliant in a family environment, then you don't even know where that boundary is for you. So this is, I think, really valuable.
It's a true story. So just giving an example, not something that's happened to me, but I could probably find something similar. But for me, I mean, you know me, I'm quite OCD, like with my cleanliness, and everything has a spot and a place. So typical example, let's say, for example, my partner is always leaving the toilet seat up. The energy that it takes to put it down every time, the trigger that it's causing is depleting from my emotional resources. However, that takes us to another point, is then also understanding our own triggers and do they actually need to be such big triggers?
So, how do we recognize burnout in others? How can we see it in our partners, see it in family, see it in colleagues, so that we can address this kind of thing, not just with ourselves, but with people we care about as well?
So mindfulness is important, Nix, and that's the problem. I experienced it with a client again today. So busy making sure that the family unit is okay that I asked her today, does she know what type of music she likes? And she actually doesn't. She doesn't know. And it starts with self-awareness, really taking ourselves out of that environment as the individual that we are. And yes, we are all part of an ecosystem. It's all systemic, 100%. But we need to stop, because what happens is we build resistance, we build resilience, and one day we come home and we whack that toilet seat down so hard that the whole toilet bowl breaks. Because we thought we were okay with it. We thought we were okay with it. Like I said, it's very important to understand why the toilet seat sitting up is such a trigger, because that in itself is going to take a lot from your emotional capital. So that's something separate where I would then work with a client and go, okay, why is it triggering you so much? And you will be absolutely bewildered to hear the stories that people have been carrying subconsciously. And very often it will lose its value, that the toilet seat sitting up will no longer be an issue. But very often, when it no longer is an issue and the person has expressed their value, the toilet seat doesn't get left up. But this all feeds into draining us emotionally, mentally, physically. So we're having to physically put it down. We're having to mentally go, okay, don't get pissed off. Excuse my French. And emotionally going, but why? But why? So it's got to start with the smallest things.
I do think, you're talking about triggers now, and goodness, there are stupid things that trigger me. It's like sounds on a radio, just little innocuous things that just drive me berserk. And that is a sign of burnout when these teeny little, I actually have to walk around earplugs a lot of the time, to not get triggered by voices, tones of voice, tones of anything at times. I'm so auditory sensitive. And I think that's a sign of aging as well, but it's a sign of burnout.
Well, next in burnout, certainly in my experience, I became sensory defensive, and I mean in all areas. I couldn't listen to music. Then I got to sorry, I couldn't listen to loud music. Then I got to the point where I couldn't listen to any music. Then even if I was playing a voice note on my phone, I had to turn the volume down. If the aircon was on, it was too high. It had to be really low, and then I had to switch it off completely and rather sit and sweat. I really became very sensory defensive. So, there's a lot of symptoms that one can recognize in burnout. And the one for me that really stood out was cynicism. I realized that I'd become quite cynical, and I also
Very
felt quite
much.
detached. And I realized that these were things that I wasn't used to. Imposter syndrome, feeling inefficient, feeling like
Very
I
much.
wasn't performing optimally. And I'm so grateful for the work that I do, that I'm able to feed so much off it. I didn't miss a single day of work. And in fact, I think I'm very blessed. You talk about the wounded healer healing. I can definitely say I fall in that category. But I'm very blessed in that when I'm doing the work with my clients, it also impacts me, especially if we're doing the more somatic exercises. So fortunately, because I think if I had been in a different job, maybe in corporate, requiring something completely different, I don't know. I don't know that I would have managed. Which brings me to a huge concern is I know many people listening to this are going, okay, but my job is super demanding and I can't afford to lose it. What do I do?
So what I see is a lot of people burying themselves in their work because they have a role and they have a responsibility and they can just focus on that and deliver and they don't have to step out of that bracket. But it's not solving the problem because the minute they get in the car and they get home, everything triggers them and something is going to give. Whether it's the physical body, it will be the physical body on some level. Something will conk out physically, and they won't tie it back to the fact that they're just not dealing with something that goes back years. Or it'll be a relationship fallout, or it'll be getting fired, but something will give. So, what I really want to do is bring to people's awareness is yes, sensory sensitivity, cynicism, being easily triggered, finding that you just can't let work stop because if you do, your mind will jump all over the place. So if you're finding that you're having to hold so tight to those reins so you don't lose it, then there's a problem that really needs to be dealt with.
Absolutely, Nix. And if you're experiencing all of a sudden these feelings that you've never experienced before, which is uncomfortable in your chest and palpitations and tingling, guys, welcome to the horror of anxiety, which is a side effect of burnout. And then you get, which I had never really experienced in my life until this major burnout, you get your depressive moments as well, which again, I don't know how you really define depression. I always refer to it as the triangles model does, as the hopeless helpless, where you are completely hopeless, like you're in a hole, or helpless, I should say, and hopeless in getting out. I mean, it's just you don't know where to from here. Next, a very, very big concern for me is people that are in these very demanding jobs, and it's twofold. So you get people that are in the demanding jobs, and as you say, throw themselves into it because it's their focus and it's just get it done. And then you get people that are doing it for compensatory behavior, where they're actually ex escaping other parts of their lives. Whether it's the personal, well, it's generally the personal, or childhood stuff that they've been burying for decades and decades. This can again exacerbate so many things. It can, and it will ultimately. It will.
So the work needs to be done. We need to face the situation at home. We need to face the childhood situation. I see people every day with elevated cortisol, with all sorts of endocrine disrupting issues, and they're on the medication. They are taking the supplements. They're spending thousands every month on the supplements. Nothing's working because we're not actually addressing the upstream issue, which is mental emotional. So this is a critical part of the healing that has to take place.
The biggest. And that's why, neuromodulation is wonderful because we hack the brain chemistry to the best of our ability. Is it foolproof? Not necessarily. If you keep going at it, do you succeed? I believe you do. Am I fully out of my burnout? No, I still have very challenging days. I'm not fully out of it. I've changed my lifestyle very much, and it has affected, income stream. It has affected my gym. It has affected my social life. And I'm not going to use the word affected in a negative way, although obviously in some aspects it has been. But I've had to relook at how I do things. I've had to relook at what is sustainable. Decide what is going to work, what isn't going to work, and understanding that it's for a long-term gain. At the end of the day, it's not going to be forever. I can assure you that I'll never make the same mistakes again. But I will definitely be taking huge, I have no doubt, I am all the time taking huge lessons and learnings out of this. But more so, I have to believe, Nick, that this is going to really lead to something awesome and amazing for me, that is, for me. And that's what gets me up every day, is that I know that there's more to this. There's a reason that I had to experience this burnout, other than the fact that I pushed too hard for many years. And you know, Nick, I must tell you, I love what I do. And at the time, I had, you know, two jobs and I was still loving what I did. But I realized that there was a lot more to it. There was a lot of fear, uncertainty that went with it, you know, throw life into that of, you know, day-to-day life, you know, personal, social, etc. It's a recipe for disaster.
So yeah, I know there's people listening to this who can relate, who will go, well, that's my story as well. I don't even know where to begin. What is your best advice for someone listening? You know, what is the first step anyone can take when they start recognizing these symptoms that we've brought up today?
So next, because I'm walking the journey myself, what I do with clients that have subsequently come to me for burnout is we actually take stock of their lives. We then do an entire deep dive into their life. You know, where did this all actually start? Because you'll often find it didn't even start a year or two ago. It started pretty much at conception, as we know, during the nurture phases, you know, not always, but oftentimes. So we look at healing traumas. Healing traumas helps to shift and transcend a lot of the difficulties of burnout. But with that also has to come, there has to be a lifestyle change. You haven't hit burnout because you're working 3 hours a day and having manicures and sipping cocktails at the golf course the rest of the time.
Sure.
So one has to look at the sustainable, realistic changes that they are able to make in their lives. We then do what we call an ecology check to make sure that this can in fact be carried out because you've got to continue, life's got to continue. And here I really, really want to plea with the corporates to become more and more aware of their employees' mental health, emotional well-being, you know, especially if it's been caused by the work application, so the
Absolutely.
environment at work,
Yeah.
because you know you get people that go in and just give from the beginning, and that's always expected from them. And whether they're doing it for compensatory behavior or whatever the case may be, they're doing it, they're going to burn out. And it's all fine and well for corporates, and I'm not saying all of them, but to want to push their employees. But the reality is, it's going to have dire effects on
On the
the
bottom line,
absolutely,
it really is. And
absolutely.
you know, we see a lot of companies, you know, implementing corporate wellness programs and offering help. But if that employee is going home with a laptop and has meetings scheduled for 7, 8 o'clock at night and isn't closing their laptop till 10 p.m., you're wasting your time and money because it's going to fall apart. And there has to be a change in corporate culture when it comes to downtime and some, you know, boundaries
100%.
in that respect. Is there's time for work
100%.
and there's time to recover. Otherwise, it does affect the bottom line. And you can't take an employee who's been with a company for 5, 10 years who understands so much about that organization and simply replace them when they're burnt out. It costs money to do that. So rethinking about how as a whole that, and it works from the top down. It starts with the
Well,
boss.
you took the words out of my mouth. It starts with the very top. So, you know, it's all fine and well that they get these wonderful team building days, and really they are awesome. And absolutely, it's great for the moment, and it's great for, you know, for exactly that, for team building and for, you know, connection. Connection is also such an important element, and connection in burnout is vital. Having the right people to connect with, that can be therapy on its own. You know, some people are more isolated, they don't have that many people. So definitely it's lovely. But when we are looking at mental wellness, mental health, wellness and performance, we absolutely have to start from the top. They need to understand it. They need to understand what they are dealing with.
Yeah. And I mean, the companies that I'm fortunate enough to work with, the leaders, those leaders are those people. They're the ones who know when to stop, when to pull the plug, when to put up the boundaries, when to tell people, you know, when it's time to shut down. And those are the organizations that thrive. And yeah, it's something that has to happen in this
Most
world.
definitely. I couldn't, you know, if there was a campaign for that awareness for top level management, I would so be on it because we can avoid the burnout. And really, as I said earlier on, next, managing stress, exhaustion, and fatigue is a walk in the park compared to managing burnout. Something else that I want to add, next, is that there isn't a quick fix. The protocol that I find has to be all inclusive is getting the right person to see first. So a me, yes, for example, changing the lifestyle, deciding where, what, when, how. Nutrition plays a huge part in it. Sleep hygiene is massive. Exercise still needs to be a part of it, although at times there were a couple of weeks where I was actually taken off all exercise for a while just to help my body kind of recover. It wasn't very long, fortunately. And then, next medication might be needed, and we can start, we always start off with first recommending the more natural route. But sometimes we need the hardcore meds, and it's okay. They're a crutch. And if that's what's going to be needed to help us to get out of the hole, then so be it. It's not going to be forever. So there's a few steps to follow, and it's not a one-stop shop. Fortunately, I have a wonderful team that I work with, you included, an amazing psychiatrist, and various other people, in the healing modalities that together have certainly helped me, and we are helping, others that have landed up in the same space.
So V, thank you so much for your time today. We can go on for hours, as we know. We can. But this, I think, was incredibly useful and insightful, and I think a really different angle on burnout. And I'm really hoping that anyone listening just takes hold of the reins and does something, because you don't have to suffer.
Please don't leave it till it's too late, guys. And I say too late because it's a very deep hole to climb back out of. It really, really is.
Absolutely. So as we head into the festive season, remember that self-care is the most valuable gift you can give yourself and those you care about. Thank you for joining us for today's insightful episode on fatigue and burnout, brought to us by Salal. If you want to get in contact with Vanessa, please check out her contact details in the show notes. And don't forget to visit your nearest Salal stockist, where you can find all the tools to help your brain and body deal with the effects of the busy times we live in.